with to open to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. All right, we're going to start out with fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. And I want it now. Everybody knows the answer to that. Of course you do. You're Americans. You want it now. That's a summary of American kingdom spirituality, right? We want it all and we want it now. We want our fries supersized. We want our venti, we order our venti lattes over the phone so that we don't, when we get to the, we get there, we don't have to wait, and they're nice and tall and hot, right? That's the way we like things. We like things big, and we like things fast. And that is that's a summary of American spirituality in a lot of different ways. Oh, sure, some of us like small things. Some of us are willing to wait. But by and large, that's the pervading spirituality in America, that we, that the press to go faster and bigger all the time. It's not just American, it's normal, it's natural. I don't like to wait. I like speedy success, and so do you. But we are going to look at what Jesus has to say today. As we do that, I just want to prepare about our spirituality, about how we ought to and how the things work in the kingdom of God. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 4. Now, it's a very interesting chapter, and to set you up to hear this, in Mark chapter 4, to begin with, it describes Jesus as preaching a sermon, and he is sitting in a boat, and he's preaching to a crowd on land. So he's on, you know, in the boat, on the water, by the Sea of Galilee, and there they are on land. And he preaches this, he uses a parable. It's the parable of the sower. You know where the seeds fall on different kinds of soil? Some seeds fall on rocky soil, some feel on hard-packed soil, some seeds fall on weedy soil, and some seeds fall on good soil. So there's the scene, right? So he's with his, later, after he preaches this parable about the seeds, and the seed that falls on good soil grows up and produces a big crop, 10, 50, 100 times what was sown, right? And so with his disciples, they get into a small group a little bit later, and his disciples are like, what was that? What did that parable mean? And Jesus explains it to them. And he says, look, that seed is like the word of God, and the soil is like you. You are like a soil that receives the word of God. Are you going to receive it as good soil or as hard-packed soil or weedy soil? And so the disciples have seeds on their mind. And it's in this context that Jesus teaches the next two parables. So let's tune in to what Jesus is teaching. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head, and as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. All right, so Jesus teaches these two things. First thing, and they're parables of the kingdom. That's what they're titled. He preaches many different parables or stories about what the kingdom of God is like. And that bears something I want to do right at the beginning. What is the kingdom of God, right? Because now that the The answer to that question is manyfold. It's something I could preach on and teach on for several weeks. What is the kingdom of God? Well, first of all, it was Jesus' message, right? Jesus preached the kingdom of God. That's what, and he came to bring this message of the kingdom. Well, when we think of kingdom, we think of a domain, a geographic kind of area, right? What we would call today a nation or a state, right? A kingdom, a region that's ruled by and under the jurisdiction and under the authority, the rule of a king. But that's not what Jesus necessarily, Jesus wasn't talking about geography when he was preaching about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was what Jesus realized in himself, right? If you were following Jesus, you would have seen Jesus do what? Raise the dead, heal the sick, move towards lepers, eat with tax collectors and sinners, that he forgave sins, he restored people to a relationship with God, he gave them dignity and hope and faith and purpose and meaning, and he brought shalom, right? Jesus spoke, acted in ways that were righteous, right? So when we talk about the kingdom of God, you know, the other thing that can be think about is that Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is, well, lots of different things. Like kingdom of God, he said, how do you enter the kingdom of God? You enter it as a little child. You enter it by faith. And so some people, well, is the kingdom of God personal salvation? Well, yes, kingdom of God is about knowing God, and it's the most desirable thing that we can have, because he said the kingdom of God is like a treasure in the field that a man found, and when he found that treasure, he sold everything he had to buy that field because it's more valuable than anything else. The kingdom of God is about personal salvation, but the image is much bigger than just going to heaven when we die. The kingdom of God is not just up there, but it is here. It's here in part now, partially realized wherever there's faith in God and the goodness of God manifested among God's people, but it's coming fully later. I mean, the hope of Christians is the kingdom of God come to earth, and so that's why we pray, thy kingdom come, when everything will be restored and made new. So the kingdom of God, in short, is a very complex thing, but we can boil it down to what is the kingdom of God like? Think of what it would be like to be with Jesus fully present. And that's the kingdom, right? That's the kingdom. That's one way to answer that question. The kingdom is what it's all about. And he says the kingdom is like a mustard, is like these seeds, right? He tells these two parables. And in the kingdom, he says, the kingdom starts small and goes slow. In the first parable that he tells, it's like a seed that grows up, and the farmer goes to bed, and you know, he has to wait, and he has to wait and wait and wait. But the seed grows on its own, but it takes a lot of time, right? This feature of the second parable is the size of the seed. The seed is very small. And so kingdom spirituality here is mustard seed spirituality. It's small and it's slow. Now, a few months ago, I preached a sermon series called The Big Story. And in preaching that, I said it's important to know the big story of God, because if we know the big story of God, then we can understand what God is teaching in the particular things, right? So here Jesus is teaching, well, think about how God worked in the big story, right? After creation and after the fall, after the flood, God called one man and his wife, Sarah, both over age to have children, and promised them that they would become a great nation. That didn't happen overnight. It took years and years and years and years. But God was faithful. God started small and worked slow, but he was faithful. He sent one man, Moses, to deliver his people. In that one man, Moses was very eager for the deliverance and justice to come to the Hebrew people, tried to take matters into his own hands, ended up in the wilderness for 40 years before finally calling Moses back to be his servant. He delivered his people out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get through the desert and into the promised land. God started small and worked slow, and we even know that in the promised land things didn't happen overnight. Then he called one man, a boy, the runt of the litter, David, to be king. He anointed him, but David faced a lot of trials before he even became king. At least 15 years it took for David to gain the throne. To David, he made a promise that he would bring a Messiah, someone who would be on the throne of David forever. And then through the prophets made that more and more clear. But it took 700 years for the Messiah to come. And then the Messiah came and he was born to peasant parents, lived in an obscure small town, and started his ministry at the age of 30 with just 12 disciples, maybe a few more that were part of the larger crowd, but it was still a small start, very small start, and it shrank to just a few when he died, but has expanded now nearly 2,000 years. But still, 2,000 years later, we're still waiting for the full arrival of the kingdom. Mustard seed spirituality. The kingdom starts small and grows slow. I want us to think about seeds for a little bit. I want to make 6 observations about seeds. As we think about, the first thing is they're little. They seem insignificant. Second thing is they're light. The wind can blow them away. The third is they look useless. Right? They look like, what can I do with this? They look powerless. They get buried. For goodness sake, they start under the ground. They look defeated. They take time to grow. You have to wait. And they're utterly dependent. They depend on rain and on the soil, on conditions to grow. So please notice that seeds appear insignificant and powerless and defeated. They appear insignificant, powerless, and defeated. We don't like that. We like things that we, first of all, when it comes to significance, it's inherent in us that human beings are built with a search for significance. It may not be grandiose significance, but we all want to be important. We all want to be powerful and self-sufficient and able in ourselves. And so we don't like powerlessness. And we certainly don't like defeat. Losing is no fun. But this is how things work in the kingdom. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this. I want my kids mature now. I want me mature now. I want things successful and working now. But Jesus reminds us that these parables remind us that God starts small and works slow. Seeds appear insignificant, powerless and defeated. But the good news is that's not the end of the parable, right? Because in the first parable, the seed grows unstoppably. While the farmer sleeps, the seed grows. The message of the parable is that God is behind it. God is going to make it grow. God is in charge, and it is going to happen. Might not happen in your time or my time, but it's going to happen. In the second parable, it grows big. That it grows so that birds can perch in its branches. Since the manger in Bethlehem, experts estimate, and this is a pretty safe estimation, that since that time in the history of the planet, there's been 3 or 4 billion authentic Christians, people who have trusted Jesus. It's grown pretty big. When China became communist in the late 1940s, they had just over 1 million confessing Christians in believing churches. And with the advent of communism, it didn't look like it was going to be too good. Right now, there are 60 million Christians in China, the fastest growing Christian church in the world. God starts small. Kingdom spirituality is small and it's slow. And things don't work according to our timeline, but they grow big. The good news is that seeds grow. They don't stay small forever. This is good news. Turn to your neighbor and look at them and say, good news, seeds grow. All right, seeds grow. Seeds have grown this past year, brothers and sisters. Seeds have grown in your hearts, in your families, in your workplaces. Seeds have grown. Not all the seeds have grown. Maybe they aren't above ground yet, but they're growing. They're maturing, they're ripening. And in the kingdom, in things worldwide, God is still at work. While the church explodes in China, we wonder about the church in New England. We wonder about the church in the United States of America. It seems to be getting smaller. We don't know what God is up to. Imagine what the Chinese must have felt like when the communists took over. Chinese Christians felt like when the communist Chinese took over. No doubt there was a great deal of minimizing and starving and persecution and hard times. But those seeds have grown. I want to apply this now. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a little liberty, and I'm going to use this image of seeds. I want to join with the Apostle Paul in what he thought in his application, or what he thought about what he thought about seeds. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, he writes, "What after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service." We are co-workers in God's service. And what did Paul see himself as? He saw himself as a seed planter. God was the one who is responsible for making it grow. God was the one who did it in his own time. Goodness knows that Paul must have felt insignificant, right? He says he must have felt powerless. He said, "It is in my weakness," right? "I am like a jar of clay," right? It is not my strength, right? Again and again. And he must have felt he must have felt defeated. How many times did Paul get literally beaten for what he believed, right? Literally beaten. He must have felt like he got buried several times, right? So, but the good news is those seeds that he planted grew. Paul was confident that God would make it grow, and he did. God was faithful. We here at Pilgrim Covenant Church, each one of us in this room, need to see ourselves as sowers of seeds. As when we exercise our giftedness, as we're at the tail end of the sermon series on giftedness. And what I've really wanted to emphasize is the fact that gifts aren't just something that God gives us, but that we give to others. When we give others a spiritual gift, it comes from faith, by faith, and for faith. From my faith in Jesus, I give by faith someone else a gift so that they might grow in their faith in Jesus. Right? When we give those kind of gifts, we're planting seeds. We're relinquishing control and trusting that God will make those seeds grow. Kingdom seeds, right? We need to see ourselves as individuals and as a church as a mustard seed. We need to become a mustard, own this mustard seed spirituality. Owning that spirituality means diligently planting seeds. When we talk about faith, right? Faith is, just think how a farmer must feel. Just think about how the actions of a farmer. The first thing, right, that they do is that they have to diligently work hard to sow their fields, fertilize their fields, weed their fields, plant their seeds. That's a lot of work, right? And that's a lot of labor. And they do plant those seeds in hope, trusting that they will grow. Then they rely on outside help. How many times, every single year that I was a pastor in Kansas, we had a prayer meeting that it would rain. Every single year, right? And God sent rain and made seeds grow. That's the way we live our spiritual lives. This image may be lost on us a little bit in our age of technology and instant results, and that I think is a detriment sometimes to our spiritual lives, the expectations we have for God and how quickly he's going to work in our lives. And Christians must be diligent to continue to plant seeds. And not only that, but to recognize that the seeds planted in us, in myself, they take time to grow. Going into the new year, I want us to go with this thought. Gratitude is for endings, and faith is for beginnings. Take some time in reflection, in quietness, in solitude, to give God thanks for what's happened this past year. I don't know about you, but every time I look back on a year, I'm like, wow, it went really fast, and wow, a lot has changed. God has done a lot. Let that produce in you gratitude and faith. And for those things that are hard, for those seeds that don't seem to have popped above the soil, like you went through a hard time, commit those to the Lord. And then move on into the new year in faith. Right? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith takes God at his word and acts. Right? We studied the book of James in Sunday school. Faith without works is dead. Simply put, right? We plant the seeds. God is the one to make it grow. Faith is not passive, it's active. What looks like a horrible thing that gets buried, God may and will make it grow in some way we don't expect. As Christians, we are called to act with faith and love, giving spiritual gifts, trusting that God will make them grow. Look at the way the early Christians prayed. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city, and this they're praying in Jerusalem, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And they recognized, look, Jesus was buried. People, right, they recognized God's hand, but look at how they prayed next. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants, that's they're praying for themselves, to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And that's the seeds that were planted. The seed, the prayers that they made for themselves is that they would be faithful farmers. They would be faithful to plant seeds, to give the seeds of spiritual gifts, giving to others. They prayed for courage and love and boldness that they might act in faith, trusting that God would make it grow. And here we are 2,000 years and 3 to 4 billion Christians later, and we can testify to God's faithfulness. And so how much more then should we then pray earnestly that God would give us courage and love, that we might plant seeds, right? We're going to do something to begin our new year that I'm just going, for lack of anything better, called the Mustard Seed Initiative, right? The Mustard Seed Prayer Initiative. And what we're going to do over, and I'm obviously going to have to send this out on email. We're going to pray from Saturday into Sunday. And what I'm going to ask every member of our congregation to do is to commit to praying for 1 hour, starting, and you can start Saturday morning at 5 a.m., and I'm passing around a sign-up sheet. And you can put your name down and say, yes, I'm going to pray. Now, I've handed out to you, everybody should have gotten a little paper, kind of giving direction about how to pray. But I want us to be I'm challenging us to all be a praying church. And then on Sunday morning, when we gather back here, we're going to cap off this with a time of corporate prayer together. So that will happen next Sunday. So am I making sense, Bill? Okay, any questions, like, I'm asking you to commit to pray for 1 hour and follow the guidance that I've given you as we go to a new year, that we as a church and us for ourselves as individuals would be a seed plant, continue, I think, to be a seed planting church. And it's okay to pray that God would make the seeds grow that we have been planting over the past several years. So that's the challenge. As that goes around, I want to lead us into a time of prayer. And if you don't get the clipboard, you know, in the sanctuary, we'll have it in back. You can sign up. Please sign up back there. As we close, praise team, would you take your places so that we can move right into song? And let's pray this prayer together as kind of a model, but this is not obviously the only way to pray. This is a mustard seed prayer. Let's stand together and say it together, okay? We may not be able to confront queens or challenge presidents. We may not have the capacity to divert resources or uplift communities. We may not have the voice to silence the noise of war or the words to negotiate peace between armies. But as we follow you, O Christ, we are able to do something. And so we pray that you would inspire us to commit to and act on the small difference we can make. May we bring peace through small acts of gentleness and reconciliation. May we bring wealth through small contributions and collaborations. May we bring wholeness through small acts of care and service. We pray for the courage and love to use the gifts you've given us to serve others, believing that your kingdom extends through insignificance, powerless, and apparent defeat. We pray for the courage and love to use the gifts you've given us to serve others, believing that your kingdom extends through insignificance, powerless, and apparent defeat. And through all of our efforts, may it produce faith in Jesus to the glory of your holy name. And in all our ways, O God, may our small difference make a big contribution to your saving work in our world. Amen.
In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. And so I yield to you into your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. So make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crush, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. Make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Carry on new fire today. God, we came here.